cute piece today. We don't need a cute Christmas story today. We need the peace of God. The Lexham Theological Notes on this describe this peace as wholeness and soundness and well-being that characterizes God and that God created in the world. When peace was broken due to human sin, such well-being constitutes the hope that one day peace will be restored by God. Shalom, one of the most common expressions, is not the word the angels used when the angel declared peace on earth. I'll come back to that in a few moments. This beautiful and almost poetic passage of scripture that we just read, and I do love when Jeremy reads, and I do love when Pastor Norm reads, that we just read a few moments ago, is poetic. It's powerful. It takes you, it creates a clear visual imagery. It's the passage Linus would recite in the Charlie Brown Christmas, right? But he follows it up and says this, that's what Christmas is all about. He's right. This is like God's birth announcement to the world. Have you seen some birth announcements recently? My word, with the balloons shooting off and people with shotguns blowing up blue and pink explosives a mile away. I think I've just appealed to some of you with that. Long guns, I guess. I don't know. But there's all kind of parties and celebrations. We thought we were innovative when we announced the gender of our, what? I forget who we did with the cake. Anyway, it was one of the first. Was that Asher? Number three. Asher just waved. He remembers by faith. But we had this cake, cake maker made it, and you sliced into it, and when you pulled it out, you could see the blue cake inside. You couldn't see from the outside. That didn't stop my mom from almost pushing me out of the way. Mom, if you're watching, you know it's true. Pushing me out of the way to peer over to see so she could be the first to see. And I always quote that scripture to her, the first shall be last. Anyway, so these reveal, this is God's birth announcement to the world. Think about it, and it's unlike anything before or since. What a way to announce a long-awaited event that happened in such an unexpected way. Suddenly, in the middle of a dark and ordinary night in Bethlehem on the countryside, an angel appears in the sky and is then joined by a sky full of angels. Some translations refer to this as the armies of heaven. It's hard to imagine just how magnificent and bright and terrifying and glorious a sight all of this was. We will never have a production to scale that makes this work. Narrowway, as good as they are, probably can't pull that off, but I'm telling you, it was something to behold. The heavens opened and another world came into view. That's the sight. Think about the sound that they heard. A message from beyond. Celestial hosts filling the sky, chanting glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. On earth, earth. Now, earth is something the shepherds knew about all too well. The earth below and the heavens above blended into this majestic scene that would forever mark history. And right at the center of the landscape of this painting, shepherds. Shepherds. Not the most important VIPs, not the rich and the famous, not the powerful, not the high capacity donors, not the social media influencers, not the kings, queens, movers, shakers. No, shepherds. Completely ordinary, average Joe, night shift working, animal tenders, who are the unlikely, unexpected recipients of this message of peace and wholeness and favor. It's another scene of how God sovereignly but perfectly flips the script on how he does things versus how you and I would do things if we were God. The whole experience probably leaves us asking, why shepherds? Now, last year, we spent some considerable time looking at some nuances of the facts behind some shepherding things. I'm not going to do that again. I do want to try to use this thread of wise shepherds. There's some biblical threads that I think tie it together beautifully. If you want to nerd out on shepherds, go to last year's Advent message on the angel's proclamation, and you can nerd out on some historical shepherding stuff. Not my goal this morning. Number one, shepherds remind us of the patriarchs of Israel. They were shepherds, nomadic animal tenders, roaming ranchers of the ancient world. Abraham was the original recipient of God's covenant that he would bless all the nations, and his promise carried on through Abraham's ancestors, Isaac, Jacob, and beyond. David, Israel's greatest king, was first a shepherd as well. Number two, shepherds were the everyman, biblical thread. They were nothing special. Now, we're all special to God, right? Let me say that. So nobody feels like you're not special, right? But they were nothing special. Nothing necessarily attractive about them. They had no sense of entitlement. They had no pride, no arrogance, no religious bloating. They fit right into the process, though, of God's Messiah and the way that he was introduced. Think about this. A humble carpenter and a peasant girl as parents for the Son of God? A birth in a lowly stable surrounded by animals, rough and rugged shepherds out in the fields on the edge of more refined civilization. They were examples of God in his grace, raising and using the humble and turning the world as we know on its head. They remind us of the history. They were the everyman, and they point to Jesus' future ministry. Jesus, later on in his ministry, would say, I am the good shepherd. And the shepherd, in John 10, lays down his life for his sheep. And that thread, if you tug at it just a little bit, points to Jesus as the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. And that sounds grandiose. We're talking about these angels on the hillside. Let me make it personal. Your sin, my sin, the peace robbers in our life. His death did away with the need for these sacrificial lambs that the shepherds were tending. His resurrection made it possible for us to be fully restored in our relationship to God. And his life made it possible for men and women and boys and girls of all socioeconomic statuses to experience real life and real peace and shalom in the deepest sense of the word. This completeness and wholeness of God's original creation. Nice threads, Pastor, said no one. But what does that have to do with me finding peace in my struggles today? A lot, actually. It reminds us that the peace that God gives, watch this, is not based on your class or your position or your occupation or your political affiliation, or your ethnicity, but on God's purpose and design to bring about good news for great joy for all people. Three things the shepherds teach us this morning. If you're taking notes, you probably have these down already. Let me give you the first one. Peace comes in the midst of our storms. Peace comes in the midst of our storms. Norm's voice changed when he hit that angel heralding back to them, fear not. We said it last week, and my sons brought it up to me, said, Dad, I never thought about that, about all the paintings and things we have of these angels as these lovely creatures, yet every time they show up in the Bible, they're having to tell people, chill out, whoa, 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 fear not, take a beat. These were warriors of God. Fear not, he says. Don't be afraid. In the middle of Israel's dark night of Roman oppression and centuries of suffering, not 9 months of inconvenience, but centuries of suffering and wondering where is God in the middle of a world turned upside down for a young Jewish couple. This young couple find themselves at the center of cosmic events. At the same time, they're trying to navigate the normal life realities of paying their dues by traveling on foot across the country to be counted by the government. And having to experience childbirth for the first time without the support and care of the women and midwives that had been promised them for the process. And then, as first-time parents, not only with the joys and wonders and fear of responsibility of having a child, but by the way, it's God's son. Pressure. You newer parents in the room can relate to a little bit of that. You think it's hard becoming parents now. Imagine this. In all of these circumstances, though, God was present. And all of these struggles, this is where God shows up, heralds, and invites others to be a part of what he is doing. And I'm going to tell you something this morning, Grace Covenant Church family, friend who's joined us as a guest this morning, on site or online, this is where God still is. He continues to show up for us. God is present in our pain. He is present in our fears. He is present in our confusion. God is present in our grief. He is present in our loss, and he is present in our uncertainty. As pastor of this incredible, wonderful church family, I do know some of what some of you are facing today. Pastor D has 30 years with you as a member and pastor some of you, and he knows probably even some more of what some of you are facing today, but neither of us know all, but God does. Every wince of pain that you're feeling, God knows. He's there, offering peace to calm the troubled waters of your soul. Offering peace to heal your broken heart and make you whole. He will stand on the bow of your storm-tossed ship and cry out to the winds and the waves, "Peace, be still." And it's peace that defies your circumstances, just like the angel getting the shepherd's attention right in the midst of that turmoil, saying, "Fear not, fear not." God shows up right in the middle of a storm and says, "Peace." And you're in the midst of a storm this morning. You are in a perfect position to know the peace of God. The shepherds would bring our attention to that in such a way they might even think it's a good second point for the sermon this morning. It's the kind of peace that defies our circumstances. That's point two. Peace that defies our circumstances. Peace is not the absence of conflict. No, no, no. It's God's overwhelming presence in the midst of it. It's not a get out of jail free card. That's not what God is not offering here to solve all of your problems. This is more of a sing in the midnight hour while you're still locked up in jail kind of peace. That's the kind of peace God offers. And this peace was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger some 2,000 years ago. I get it. I get it. In the face of what you're feeling right now and all that you're going through, God's peace seems elusive. It seems out of reach. It just doesn't make sense. Is that something that's really, really for real? And could it really be for me? I want evidence. Boy, we've come to have that conversation as a culture more now than ever. People say, trust the science, trust the science. The problem is the science keeps changing. Science is the discovery of what's already truth. I get what they're saying. There's data we should look at. But I'm telling you this morning, some of you are saying, show me that I can trust this peace. I'm struggling to see the reality of that. And I could walk you around the room this morning from pew to pew and present you with irrefutable evidence that God's peace passes understanding. I could take you to hospital beds that I have laid on personally at the Morris Cancer Clinic at Duke University and show you peace that passes understanding. I could walk you by a casket or two, and we would find ironclad peace, evidence that God's peace is real, and God's peace is a healing balm, and it can guard your heart from continuing wounds, and it can protect your mind from the onslaught of anxiety. The Apostle Paul laid it out so beautifully in Philippians 4. If you've got your Bibles, turn there. I'll put it on the screen for you. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do you see what he's leading up to? He says, rejoice. And again, rejoice. Conduct your life in a way that you are approachable and reasonable, that it's reasonable to assume that you have a relationship with the living God of this Bible by the way that you live. People can look at the open book of your life and find Jesus. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. When you pray, pray with thanksgiving. And then verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's power in prayer. There is transformation that grows from gratitude. It's not the power of getting what we want or convincing God to see things our way, although he's merciful and will let you work through that in prayer. No, what I'm talking about is what Paul is pointing to here. It's the power of God. It's the experience of peace as our perspective changes and we find an understanding in this, that God is with us no matter what. The creator of the universe is with us. It's an acknowledgement and an acceptance that God's got this. He can be trusted. He's enough. God is enough. Peace comes in the midst of our storms because that's how it works. Peace defies our circumstances because it's supernatural. It's God with us. The shepherds point us to the final reality, which you're already there. I can see it in your eyes. Peace is a person. Hope has a name. Peace has a name. And his name is Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Savior. Ephesians 2:14, he himself, Christ, is our peace. Long before his arrival, the prophet Isaiah would point to him. It was read this morning, Isaiah 9:6-7, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. We don't do responsive readings much here, but say it with me, Prince of Peace. Dietrich Bonhoeffer reminds us that all of this incredible spectacle that we're seeing here on the hillside of Bethlehem, all of this is about the birth of a child. Not the astonishing work of a strong man, not the bold discovery of a wise man, not a scientific breakthrough, not the pious work of a saint. It's really beyond all of our understanding. The birth of a child would bring about this great change, and to all mankind would bring salvation and deliverance. This child that is born, this son that is given, brings the power and the rule of peace into our personal lives. He's the bringer of peace between us and God, the sacrificial lamb, the giver of life. He is the embodiment of shalom, wholeness, that we find in relationship with him. You can experience this shalom. You can have peace from God, but you can't have it without peace, watch this, with God. The word used by the angels, peace on earth, was not shalom, but irene. And it has to do with warfare and conflict. Wow. So these armies of heaven show up, arrayed for battle, but singing praise and say, peace. The conflict can be over for all of mankind. But it's wrapped in swaddling clothes. Let me remind you, lest we forget, that before we come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and submission, you and I, young and old, esteemed and not, poor and rich, are rebels and we are at war with God. And the only way that the conflict, the warfare, can have a resolution, that eriene, that kind of peace that we need, is through a living relationship. The angels are pointing to the only hope of peace, Jesus. Advent means coming, an arrival of the season. It's marked by expectation and waiting and anticipation and longing. It's not just an extension of Christmas. This Jesus is the God who comes to be with us, and he is inviting you and he is inviting me this season too. Let's hear it from the words of our Lord himself in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me. Don't look for hope. Look for me. Don't search for peace. Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What an offer of peace this morning. Take a moment. Let your eyes lock on each word of the first part of that passage. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's week two of Advent. Let me encourage you this morning to look for the Prince of Peace. Even when the winds blow and the storms swirl, let me encourage us all to come to him and worship him like the shepherds did, even when we find ourselves in the darkness or right in the middle of a storm. Let me remind us to come to him because he's here. The Prince of Peace is with us. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and peace. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. How's your soul this morning? I'm going to ask the musicians to come. If you'll remain seated for just a moment, but the musicians to come back. We're going to sing in just a moment. We're going to sing some wonderful Christmas music that's appropriate for today. While they're coming, though, right where you're seated this morning, if it's in a pew at Grace Covenant Church, if it's somewhere else on the property, if you're watching online this morning, I want to invite you to hope and peace. Do you need peace with God today? How do you get from where you are to peace? Well, it's interesting. All the work that needs to happen has already happened. You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth as God's precious Son. He lived a spotless, sinless life. He knew no sin. He never committed sin. Neither was there any guile in his mouth. He didn't even have the thoughts that would condemn him in his thought life. And yet God saw fit to allow his precious Son to be crucified on a Roman cross outside the city, to bear the sin and the shame and the reproach of the whole world. Your sin, my sin, Jesus paid the price for, shed his own blood for that on a cross, was dead, buried in a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and on the third day rose again when God said it was enough, to present his blood a sufficient sacrifice for all who would bow the knee and come after not hope and come after not peace, but Jesus. If you want to find hope and peace this morning, come to Jesus. I wonder, as a congregation, if you would join me this morning in praying for those maybe watching, maybe in our pews this morning, that need today to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I ask you to pray right now with me? Now, I'm not leading you in some kind of repeat after me prayer. That's not what this is. There's no magic in anything like that. But if I were sitting in a congregation like this, like I was on that February morning in 1993 when I knew I needed to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, after a message like this, I would pray something maybe a little bit like this if it was time. Congregation, join me in praying, please, for those. I might would pray this. Father, I'm a sinner, and I am at war with you the way that I am. No wonder I don't have peace. No wonder I'm struggling with all of this. I thought I was okay. I've been coming to church, but I know I'm not a Christian because I don't love the things you love. And boy, I sure love my sin too much. Father, I sense that you're doing a work in me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin. I'm not sure what all that means, but I know it means I want to stop. I want to come to you, Lord. I turn to you. I say, you are the King, your Lord. I want you to take over everything, rule and reign in my life. I need peace. I need you. Cleanse me. Forgive me of my sins. I want to live for you in such a way that I make disciples like they've been talking about at church. I want to follow Jesus. Would you do that for me, Lord? In Jesus' name, amen. Again, that's not your prayer, but there's an example of something that might be prayed. I'm believing somebody prayed something like that today, online or in this place. If that's you, please let us know. This is the beginning, not the end. Congregation, let's stand now and worship the Lord in singing. If you need to meet with me after service today, it'd be a great day. I'd love to talk with you about your new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.